At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
I just went and looked at synonyms for reactive. You can do that online. You find these websites and they got all kinds of synonyms for it, okay? Reactive: instinctive, visceral, spontaneous, emotional, volatile, impulsive, temperamental, unstable, sensory, operate by your senses, susceptible. Boy, was Samson susceptible. Do some things in his environment and you got him acting in a certain way. Vulnerable, sensitive, moody, anxious, easily agitated, easily frustrated. Aren't you glad you're not married to them? It sounds like the average teenager. Forgive me, teenager. But there are positive sides to being reactive. That is passionate, sentimental, affectionate. These are positive synonyms that were there. Empathetic, sympathetic, warm-hearted, share their feelings. Does Samson do that? You bet he does. It gets him in trouble later, even. Intuitive and eager. I understand there's positive sides to that. Purposive, intentional, deliberate. These two strike me right here. Voluntary, unforced. See, when the situation makes me, it's in charge. When I respond, I'm reactive to what's going on. It's not voluntary. It's controlling me. Being purposive means that you volunteer. What you choose into, you're being deliberate, determined, persistent, unambiguous, accurate, steady, competent, well-informed, sensible, skillful, knowledgeable, effective. I like the next one, guys. Courageous. Fulfilled and self-controlled. These aren't scriptural places. They're just, like I said, just synonyms that I looked at online. Proverbs 21 and 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. Whoever is now, this is Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Gentlemen, anger is an emotion. Yeah, you want to come tell me about your emotional wife as you get angry about that. Anger is an emotion. The Bible says the person that acts in anger reacts to the situation, not purposeful, but reacts to the situation. The guy does that in anger leads to folly. We are supposed to be purposive or purposeful, intentional in our walk with Christ. And here's one of the reasons why. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus to do, there you go, good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me put it this way. God saves you on purpose. He wasn't reactive to your situation. Oh, well, Bill decides to accept me and receive me today, so I guess I'll respond to that. There are people who teach that, by the way. Okay? God's purposeful. Why? He saved you for a task, good works. Everybody, it looks different. Don't think good works is just feeding the poor. This is very personalized for you to do. And in Samson's case, now we wouldn't think about this. What's the good work he's supposed to do? Kill Philistines. We don't consider that necessarily good work. But we look all the way back at the beginning of the story of Samson. Remember, his mother is barren. She says, you're going to have a child. Why? I have this purpose for him. Right? So the problem is this. When I try to put my purpose, I'm a Philistine killer, and put it on you. But you're not supposed to be a Philistine killer. You're supposed to be a Philistine feeder. We run into problems there. And often the church does that. In the church, that happens. Okay? Think about people in the Bible that might be considered reactive. Who would you think of a Bible character that's reactive? Yeah. Peter's always the first one. Right? And does God use Peter? Yes. But Peter has to learn some lessons along the way. Somebody else that might be considered reactive is Moses. Remember, he knows he's supposed to be delivered. He sees a guy beaten on a Hebrew, and he kills the guy, and that's why he has to leave. Does God use that? Yes. Okay? He sees a bush burning. I got to go see this. I see some environment. I'm going to respond to it. He goes and sees that. At one point, I can't lead these people anymore. I quit. Another moment. Oh, God, don't strike them. Okay? He tends to be a bit reactive in that. And that reaction, remember, in his anger, he strikes the rock instead of speaks to it, right? And that keeps him out of the promise. Is he still used by God? Yes. But I want you to think about somebody you might be purposive. I tend to think of Joshua. Josh, this is the job I have for you. He says, yes, sir. And that's what Joshua does. One time, he forgets that, and he makes a pact with some people he's supposed to be killing. Remember? But generally, he's very purposeful. He knows his task. That's what he set out to do. Jesus is the best example of that, of course. But you know, Paul is a really good example of that. He's passionate Pharisee. He's responding and reactive to the Christians. He's going out to kill them. And God says, well, let me give you something to react to. I'm going to knock you off your horse and make you go blind. Oops. But then after that, you find Paul very purposive, very purposeful. To the point where the ship's sinking, he says, guys, you don't understand. I got a purpose. I'm going to Rome. And if y'all just shut up and listen to me, y'all live. Because I'm ending up in Rome no matter what happens to this ship. That's my paraphrase. So Paul really began to walk in purpose. So I'm going to define that for you. It is the primary, notice the next word, unchanging, kingdom extending, assignment for which God gave you physical existence and spiritual regeneration. Your purpose inspires your heart, guides your decisions, drives your energies, motivates your actions. Purpose is achieved within the framework of calling. And now let me give you an example of that. Paul is operating in purpose, but he has something it's referred to as the Macedonian call. He's walking in purpose, and remember, he has a vision of a guy in Macedonia, right? Even though he goes to Macedonia instead of where he was going, he's still fulfilling the same purpose. And that's where the jailer comes to know Christ, when they get thrown in prison, okay? So you got to, especially those first phrases, it's unchanging, doesn't change with environment. So it's not reactive to what's happening to you. It's kingdom extending. It's not income making, relationship building. Matter of fact, sometimes it will do just the opposite. It's kingdom advancing. It's the reason you're still breathing. Because when you fulfilled it, God will take that breath away and you'll go home. It's also the reason for spiritual regeneration. Saved. He didn't save you because you were so wise to repent. You finally figured it out. He redeemed you, regenerated you because he has a purpose for you. Every guy in the Bible, Abraham's having a fine time. He's living in Ur. He's doing just fine. God says, dude, I pick you. Why? Because I got something for you to do. Go out there. Okay. 13 years later, God speaks again. That's another sermon. But every guy, every man and woman in Scripture, the whole story, the book of Ruth, you start reading Ruth. There's a purpose God's telling. See this girl over here? She's Gentile. There is a purpose I have for her to bring her into this story. There's something she is supposed to achieve. In every meta-narrative in the Bible. Okay, so now that I talked about the bottom part, purpose is achieved within the framework of calling. Guess what I got to define now? Anybody want to guess? Calling, there you go. calling is the context in which you use your God-given gifts and traits to fulfill that purpose. So the context. Context has two components, okay? Calling has two components. Let me, again, break that down. You need to be writing this down. I don't know how to say this. This is good stuff. You need to get these principles down. Role, the function or position that facilitates your purpose. What's my role? Anybody want to guess? Pastor. It is not my purpose, it's my role. It's my calling. Calling has role and setting. That's the position, the function I have as I fulfill my purpose. When I go to Southeast Asia, different role. I'm much more of a, I don't know what you call it, mentor-y guy, evangelist. Different role, same purpose. Now, this role is often setting specific. And you just heard me talk about that. My role changes with setting. It changes with people group. Hey, what happened to my setting? Oh, man, they're not there. Setting has to deal with physical location, physical environment, people group, industry you're in, okay? So when I was when I'm with a different people group, my role changes. When I was with football players, the role I have, what they see me as, the function I do as a football coach, not a pastor. When I'm in Southeast Asia, same week, that changes, all right? But my purpose does not. This is important because let's assume you confuse these two between purpose and calling. So God tells you to start a Christian band. I'll use that for an example, okay? And you think that's purpose. When it isn't, it's calling. It's role specific, setting it specific. Then the band flops. It never makes it. I've seen this all the time. They do the same thing Samson said here. I'll do this, then I'll quit. Yeah, he'll send guys to tie you up with ropes. You can't quit on God's purpose. Can't be done. By the way, that's verse 7 where Samson says that, okay? This is Job 42 and 2. I know that you, speaking to God, can do all things. No purpose of yours would be thwarted or stopped, halted. Proverbs 19, 21, this one might be more familiar with you. To you, many are the plans of a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I want you to think about Samson for a minute. Does he fulfill his purpose? Yes. How enjoyable is it for him? Especially that end part with the pillars. Compared to, let's say, Joshua's story. Joshua acts out of purpose. Intentionally. This is what, okay, here's Jericho, guys. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. And nobody touches the stuff in there. Somebody does. He still acts in purpose and has the guy killed in his family. Remember when he steals stuff out of Jericho. Then he makes his plan of how he's going to conquer and go along conquering each city. He doesn't quit until God says you're done. That's when the judges take over. Okay? But you take Gideon. Gideon gets the word of God. Gideon does what God tells him to do. He doesn't go try to find a wife among the other side. We don't see Samson going, hey, this is what I'm called to do. I'm going to go do it. You see Samson reactive through the situation, and God moves on him to fulfill his purpose. But Samson's sort of like along for the ride, if I could say it like that. He's not intentional in the process. God uses Philistines to goad him by calling him names and calling, hey, we got the... You know, in those days, you humiliated the guy that you conquered and hauled him in, okay? You humiliated him. He responds to that humiliation. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. I've been doing this a long time, and much of the counseling I have to do as a pastor is because people are reactive instead of working on purpose. Intentional about the things God's called them to do, God's called them to be, because sometimes you actually have to train for, prepare for, study for that thing that he's called you to be, to do, all right? But too often, it's so reactive that you're like Samson. I got hurt by, I've never got over, I'm a victim. And that's how Samson sees himself through the whole story. He's a victim. Things are happening to him. He is not acting upon things. That's the American culture today. It happens to me. But most people run around without purpose. Even in the church, they think they're saved because God needed them or something, or I don't know. No, I have a purpose. I choose you to do this thing. I can do it without you, but I choose to do it with you. Oh, let's go all the way back. Garden Eden, right? Mankind messes up. You shall crush his head, right? The purpose has started right from the beginning. Jesus says, purpose. Even though you sinned through your seed. Wait a minute. She doesn't have seed. It's purpose. Already speaking of a virgin birth. God does not act arbitrarily. He doesn't do it accidentally. He does it on purpose. That's vital that you get this. God does everything on purpose. If you're going to read your Bible at all, recognize everything in there, he put in there on purpose. But that was culture, Bill. I know, God knew that too. And he put it in there knowing that's how they would say it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So you say, well, that sounds great, Pastor. How do I find my purpose? Well, the first place you're going to do is Scripture. Always Scripture. And I'm not, I know my purpose. My purpose is to help others discover the truths contained in God's Word. I can do that as a football coach. I can do that I can do that here. I can do it all kinds of places. I can do it in a restaurant where my role is customer. That's my purpose. What's yours? So when literally, and those of you who have been to lunch with me, you know, I try to call the wait person by name. I try to get their name, and I'll say it several different times. Oh, Fred, can I have, Fred, would you get me some butter? Fred. And so it gets in my head, because I don't know if this is going to be an opportunity for me to fulfill my purpose. I want to know his or her name if this is the chance that God's opening up to help to give me to share God's word with them. So when I go to a restaurant, this may seem weird to you, but I go on purpose. And you've heard me say it. I'll go through the same grocery line, no matter how long it is, so the same checkout person's there. So I can build relationship with that checkout person. So when I go to the grocery store and I've got a gallon of milk, there's the express lane. I choose lanes by purpose, not by length of line. Ask my daughter, she goes with me, right, don't I? I pick by who the checker is, because I got a purpose, all right? Too many people, and this is the number one thing that most preachers get, how do I know the will of God? How do I know which line to choose? Purpose. I can be honest, I don't understand how you operate. If you don't know I don't know how you function. I don't know how you know where to spend your money, how to spend your time, how do you handle issues. If you don't know purpose, that's me. I don't get it. Now, I'm not saying that leaves you less spiritual than somewhere else. I just don't understand. That to me, like I don't understand people who say guns kill people, for example. I just don't understand that. I've never seen an inanimate object jump off the table. Okay? I don't get it. That's simple, that's all. So I'm just saying I don't understand how that works, okay, because I operate within that purpose. Now watch this. Seek ye first the... Respond to your environment. No, seek. That's intention. By the word kingdom of God, there, you got to think about the implication. Really, the better translation of that, really, is kingship, not kingdom. Kingdom's a thing. Kingship belongs to a person. But seek first the kingship of God. That means he's in charge, not you. Not your emotions, not your passion for that Philistine woman, Samson. Not your getting upset about insulting. Not your desire to get revenge. It's seeking God's way, doing it God's way. Okay? Now, again, you have two options. You can do it Samson way or Joshua way. It's going to get done. God's plan's going to come. The question is, are you miserable along the way or fulfilled along the way? Would people describe you as moody? All those other things we saw in reactive. Okay. Or you would somebody say, no, that guy, that lady, man, that guy, that they're steadfast. They're solid. You know what I mean? Do you act in the kingdom according to purpose? But I don't know my purpose. Then get on your knees, get in the Bible, and ask God to show you your purpose. You should see the looks I'm getting like,
oh, I don't understand.
Don't worry about it. Here's what you also got to do. Shut up and listen. Get into the Word. Get on your knees and listen. Okay? So you get on your knees. You're afraid. You listen it. And you don't think you hear anything. So you pull into, now we happen to shop at Fred Meyer. I'm not saying you need to or don't need to, but as you come up off in there, there's a guy standing there with a sign. Some guy, not the same guy, okay? Out of work veteran, something like this, right? So I have a daughter that moves her. So we just did this. She keeps a Ziploc baggie in the car. Bottle of water, granola bar, an apple, some handy wipes and all that. Dad, there's a guy that rolled down your window. And we hand the bag out the window. Now, it's my job to bring my children up in the thing God's planned for them. I've got a leaning already where God might be able to use her. You could drive by that guy and go, gee, the guy needs to get a job. That doesn't make you less spiritual than my daughter. Right? God's given her a heart and pain. So you might pray and spend your time in the Bible and the Word, and you're going, I didn't get anything. Joe and Mary are getting divorced? Oh, honey, we got to go over and see Joe and Mary. I can't imagine how bad that... No, God wouldn't be speaking, would he? Now, I know that's reactive, but you have to ask yourself why your husband's looking at you going, you're kidding, do we have to? And you're passionate about that. You have to ask yourself those questions, okay? So way back, let's take Joshua again, and then I'll try to wrap up. Moses says, we got some bad guys coming. Everybody in camp's a slave. That's where they've been, right? Here, Josh, I want you to lead this army to take on the bad guys.
Excuse me, Moses. I don't even own a sword. How do you want me to do this?
There's the other way, opportunity. Just you, Joshua. Sure, I don't have a sword. I don't know a clue what I'm doing, but I'll show up. You'll learn those things that bring you alive, those things that bring active, bring passion in you, brings the spirit alive in you, and those things that don't. The other part that you notice was that calling is the place where you use your gifts and talents. Now, you might be passionate about teaching Bible, but it sure may not be a gift or a talent. I'm passionate about worship, but I ain't leading. You have to be willing to let people say to you, sorry, this ain't your thing. Well, I'm offended. They wouldn't use me at that church. I'm going somewhere else. Well, you know what? Maybe you will develop that gift. Maybe. Maybe you could. Bible study, let's get real, takes some work. Some people can just sing, and it's just beautiful. Other people say, excuse me, can you hit this one here? And then they could do that, all right? But you've got to get on your knees, get in the Word, take opportunities that's given before you, and that's how it works. People want some deep process. Let's stand in line, and we'll have the purpose line, and we'll lay hands on you. If it's the right people that lays hands on you, you'll receive the gift and ability, and now you're in. The problem is we think everybody are Philistine killers. We think in the kingdom, purpose means preacher, worship leader, church elder. And that's not true. That you have to know your purpose as individual, because God has particular good works he preordained for you to do. You will do them one way or the other. If he has to make you homeless, sure, you're helping that homeless guy. This is the greatest thing ever. Is to know why God put you on the planet. He's going to use my mess of mistakes, and I get to walk that out. Let's go do it one more time. I'm exhausted. Let's do it again. You can ask my family. When I walk out of here, I turn into a vegetable because God gives me the energy to do this. And those of you that hang around and help clean up long enough, about 10, 15 minutes after church is over, the screws of my back start going, ah, ah, no, it starts doing that. Why? Because when I'm being used in the thing God called me to do, my purpose, even my screws have to submit to that. And those guys that went with me to the Philippines, does my back bother me in the Philippines? I don't know why. Yeah, I do know why. God says, do. I said, yes. He says, good. Then I'll take care of the rest. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm old. You don't understand. I've got this problem. I'm disabled. I got this. Yeah, you don't understand. God's bigger than that. He will take the weakness and totally take it out of the picture All you have to do is be purposeful in seeking His kingdom and His purpose. And you will find a life, you will find a joy, you will find a fulfillment that no self-help book or seminar will ever do for you.
Amen.
Or pastor preaching will ever do for you. You find that thing that God put you on the planet for, and life will come to you. And your wife or your husband say this, how come you're not like that at home? Come on, my kids and my wife have said that. Wait a minute. You wouldn't be like that with somebody in the church. You're right, I probably wouldn't. But for some reason, when you come to me griping and complaining and tell about your mess, God brings me, moves on me, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, and I actually say wise things that I somehow can't say at home. It's that thing. It's the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Next thing you know, you're killing enemies with a jawbone 1,000 at a time. That thing you've been trying to conquer and overcome, that addiction, that behavior, that thing, you'll start walking in purpose, and pretty soon you'll be too busy for that anyway. And you'll go, hey, I haven't even thought about that in a week. You've been trying so hard to work your way through it. When all you got to do is seek the kingdom, then all these things will be added unto you. You won't go get them. They'll be added to you as you seek purpose. Let's stand. Father, we thank you that you call us. You've preordained us for purpose. God, I pray that you reveal yourself to the people sitting here, those who are listening, even those who are sitting in prison that are hearing this. God, you even have a purpose for them there. Ask Paul. God, reveal yourself to us. Let us walk in purpose, not for our glory, but for the advancement of your kingdom and to the glory of your name. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.